Today on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, an award-winning guaranteed Irish company. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Today on RTE Radio 1, text 51551.
The Department of Agriculture has confirmed that a commercial turkey flock in County Carlow has bird flu. Restriction zones have been put in place around the holding to protect other flocks from the outbreak. This is the first outbreak of bird flu in a commercial poultry flock since 2023. However, more than 40 wild birds have been infected in Ireland this year, or at least found to have been infected. There may be many others, including 12 at Fota Wildlife Park recently, which has prompted the attraction to close temporarily. With more on this, I'm joined by Dr. Maeve Louise Farrell, postdoctoral researcher in UCD Vets, and Niall Hatch, Head of Communications and Development for Birdwatch Ireland. Good morning to both of you. Niall, can I come to you first? Are you surprised that this has happened, or surprised that this is only the second instance in a commercial flock in as many years, given the amount of it that you're seeing in wild birds?
Probably more the latter, Philip. The situation with bird flu is that we know in wild bird populations it has been endemic for quite some time. It flares up seasonally. We've seen seabird colonies particularly being hit very badly. We do know, however, that many poultry producers do have very good biosecurity measures in place, which does help, of course, to limit the spread from wild birds. But recently, you know, in more recent years, we've been seeing more in coastal areas. So the fact that this is a more inland site, some distance from the coast, is certainly showing that the disease has the capability to spread quite rapidly.
Okay, so that would suggest that it's no longer just the seabirds like gannets that are carrying the infection, but it's spreading right throughout the wild bird population. What other species are you seeing with it?
So we've been seeing it particularly in birds like geese. They've been badly affected. We know that during the summer months, terns, these migratory seabirds that nest in mostly in coastal areas, they have been affected. Now, they are migrants that aren't in Ireland present at the moment, so they're in off the African coast at the moment, so they won't be involved in this case. But this is the time of year when we do see mass migration of birds from all over the Northern Hemisphere into Ireland. It's mostly wetland bird species where this tends to be seen, so seabirds or ducks, swans, geese, species like that. That would tend to be in wet environments in congregating in large numbers. So it really hasn't been seen at all in things like garden birds that might visit garden bird tables, for example. They seem to be very, very low risk of being exposed to this. It's more flocking birds that spread. And then, of course, when they're able to come into contact or maybe their excrement comes into contact with waterways, can get into poultry production areas too, that can lead to problems. And of course, as we've seen at Fota as well, it can have problems for all sorts of captive wildlife.
So if poultry don't have to make direct contact with an infected bird, as you're saying, if it can be spread through the feces, is, as the Minister for Agriculture is saying, is biosecurity, enhanced and well-observed biosecurity, going to keep this virus out of commercial flocks, do you think?
Well, it's certainly an essential component of that. We in Birdwatch Ireland, poultry and domestic animals aren't our remit. Obviously, we're very concerned about wild bird populations. And when it comes to those, we do have many concerns. Heed seems to be paid to the fact that so many of these wild birds are under threat. Ireland is home in the summer and winter to internationally important numbers of many threatened species that are migrating here at the moment. Our wetlands are some of the most important in Europe for these species, and yet we're not seeing things like the proper routine and timely collection of carcasses. We're seeing mismatch and miscommunications between departments and local authorities. We're seeing inconsistent handling of reporting of these wild birds. You mentioned there about the 40 positive cases that had been detected. Obviously, really, that is just the tip of the iceberg, because when the Department of Agriculture has confirmed the presence of a bird flu in an area, it has no reason to test any further because they know that the disease is present. It's very important that suspected cases are reported to the department, absolutely. But we do need more joined-up thinking and guidance as to how wild birds should be handled and disposed of. In Birdwatch, we get contacted all the time by members of the public who are finding sick, dead, dying birds. They're getting inconsistent advice on how to handle them. We're even literally getting cases where you know, the official advice is that people should double bag them and put them in the bin if they're on their property. I think this is, you know, a really difficult situation for people who are trying to help birds or are concerned about their own health.
Dr. Maeve Louise Farrell, postdoctoral researcher in UCD Veterinary Department, as I say, good morning to you. You haven't any direct contact with this farm in Carlow, but what do you understand should be happening? It is happening there now.
Yeah, so at the moment there's approximately, I think, 500 birds were involved in this in this outbreak. Now, this is one of the smaller poultry establishments in Ireland, so the usual biosecurity measures will be in place. So, unfortunately, the birds will likely be culled. There's a 3 kilometre radius that's then put in place in terms of movement of any birds and surveillance, and then a 10 kilometre zone where any birds that are sick or dying within that zone are tested also, just to see if it is progressing out of the zone. But it is one of the smaller outbreaks.
And generally speaking, do these restrictions work, Maeve?
Yeah, we actually do have a very good biosecurity protocol here in Ireland. So as soon as there is an outbreak in, for example, our commercial flocks, the best method is, unfortunately, prevention at the moment. So we go by the animals are culled to reduce any transmission or spread further. And obviously biosecurity in terms of cleaning and strict protocols are then in place in terms of the movement of the birds. And then also the zones allow us to ensure that we can track if it has moved any further outside of the flock or if it has just been contained to one region.
There's quite an active debate in the UK now, where there have been many more instances than we have had here, admittedly, but quite an active debate around whether birds should be in commercial flocks should be vaccinated. Is that pragmatic? Is that too costly to consider, do you think?
Yeah, well, at the moment, like Ireland, we're not vaccinating our birds, and the main reasons because of this are trade implications, and the fact that the vaccine can actually make it harder to tell if we are actually truly disease-free, as most animals won't display any signs of infection if they have picked it up. So the focus here is mainly on prevention, and then, of course, I guess when you think about it, who picks up the tab then for the vaccinations? Is it going to be the farmers themselves? Is it going to be the government? So we have to look at the pragmatic response, as you say, and ensuring
because
that
the,
if
we should explain here, like, that the costs that I saw that were being quoted in the UK was anywhere between 50 pence sterling and £1 per bird. Mm-hmm. And when margins are, you know, a couple of pence on each of these birds, that would be a very considerable additional cost.
Exactly. Especially when we consider that this flock, for example, is only 500, but 500 is still a very big number. If we're looking at much bigger flocks, that's a huge cost to incur. And realistically, the vaccines need to become, or we need to get better vaccines before we start looking at how to introduce these and ensuring that it's done in a correct manner.
Will it help this containment of the disease? Will it help your knowledge if, as Niall was saying, all of these instances of dead birds are reported to the department by members of the public?
Definitely. So if we're getting reports in from birds across Ireland, we're able to work out if it is, for example, a wild bird, if it's listed on the EU's list of at-risk birds, we can then decide if that is an animal that we need to go out to. So, for example, if it's just the garden bird and just one dead, that could be any cause of illness, or it could just be simply old age. But if it's a number of waterfowl, for example, then we will act very quickly to go and assess that situation. And then if it's a continued outbreak, the costs do come into play there. So realistically, we can't go out and sample every single animal there. But if in a week or two we're still getting reports, we'll go back out again and assess the situation, see if the disease is changing at all, and also send them away so that we can do further analysis on the virus to see if there's any changes in the actual makeup of it itself.
Vaccinating is, as you say, full of trade implications and incredibly costly. Nigel Sweetenham, chair of the Irish Farmers Association National Poultry Committee, called on Morning Ireland for a housing order. Might it be prudent at this time of year, with increased instances of this virus, to consider housing birds for 3 or 4 months through the winter?
Yeah, I do foresee that happening, similar to last year, and the UK and the Northern Ireland are actually bringing one in tomorrow, as far as I'm aware. This does actually just follow, I think it was the 1st of November, there was further biosecurity guidelines put out to poultry farmers and encouraging farmers to ensure that they're all registered so that we know where all of the birds are, from just one bird to 3,000 birds. So yes, it will help to know where our poultry is currently in Ireland. We do have most data, but there are the occasional farmers that slip through the cracks. And it will allow us to also see if those animals are near, for example, as Niall mentioned, near where a mass migration might occur, where this bird's collecting, that we'll be able to encourage them to do further biosecurity and ensure that they keep those animals inside to protect them.
If people, Niall, do see dead birds, the larger sea birds, and want to report them, I'll give out the National Disease Emergency Hotline in a moment. But what protection or what precautions should they take themselves around these birds?
Well, first and foremost, it's important not to touch them. That is the public health advice and the advice from the department on this. Crucially, keep pets and children away from them too. That is vital because dogs will often automatically go to investigate these. Report them to the Department of Agriculture, Food and the Marine through their Avian Check app and web portal. But as we heard there can be other reasons why these birds die, particularly when birds of prey are affected. It's important also to contact the National Parks and Wildlife Service because that could be poisoning as well. It may not be bird flu at all. I think we do need more clarity, though, as to whose responsibility it is to remove carcasses. I know that in public areas, the advice is that it's the local authority. But then when it's on private land, be that a farm or a garden or a schoolyard, which is something we've encountered quite a bit, the advice is it's the responsibility of the landowner. But the advice also is not to touch the bird. So there's a disconnect there. You can't fulfill both of those.
And there is good reason to remove that carcass, isn't there? Because we have seen when scavengers have foraged on the carcasses of birds killed by avian flu that the virus has jumped to those mammals.
That's absolutely right. And of course, those dead and dying birds won't be there for very long because a fox or a rat or a dog, we've even seen cases of seals and even porpoises coming into contact, scavenging on these, and then that spreads. And when the virus jumps between species in that way, that can lead to further mutations. It can lead to other major issues. So it is very important that these carcasses are cleaned up, and also to prevent it spreading within those wild bird populations at times when they are congregating. We also need to make sure that in areas particularly where bird flu is known to be occurring, that the birds aren't overly disturbed, that they aren't forced to move between different sites, might cause a panic. So maybe restriction areas around places where birds are congregating, maybe even temporary bans on hunting for the purpose of not causing stress to the birds and not forcing them to flee to new locations where disease can be spread may need to be considered in due course.
Niall Hatch and Dr. Maeve Louise Farrell, thank you both very much. Coming up, who is Rob Jetten, the man set to become the youngest ever Prime Minister of the Netherlands?
Today on RTE Radio 1.